some of the local community were interviewed for the open day, and one of the ladies on that said, you know, it's just so great to have the hub, it's great to work with Anne, it's great, it gives me so much hope. This community is so much more than I thought it could ever be when I bought my house. And she doesn't have any interest in faith, but she really loves people and wants to build a community. And I just sensed something of God when she said, this is better than I could ever have dreamed or hoped it would be. And I just thought, that's God. That's God doing that and showing you that and revealing you that. And I wouldn't have known that if she hadn't said it to the camera. You know, it's the small things, and the small things become really significant because you see that God's doing something there, and that's great.
Welcome back to Emerging Emmaus. Here we are again. I'm so happy that you are with us. You're here with me. You're here with Neil.
Hello.
It is. He is with us. And we have a spectacular guest today. And the story that Anne brings is really, really encouraging. I mean, it literally is taking furrowed fields and furrowed fields and seeing new life spring up from it, literally from the fields. So it's really exciting. So I'm hoping that you are as excited about this episode as I am. But if I say two words to you, Bertha Park, I wonder what springs to mind. I'll give you a wee hint. It isn't a big playground park. We are in Bertha Park outside Perth for this episode with Anne Stott. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
So, yeah, great. So, Anne, I've given a wee heads up there. You know, Bertha Park, it's not a playground park. What is Bertha Park?
Bertha Park is part of Perth and Kinross's major planning for the future. They're building a new road called the Crosstay Road Link, and Bertha Park housing area is a new village, possibly a new small town that's going to be part of that whole development. So there's going to be 3,000 homes if all goes to plan, and that's just about the size of Brechin or Montrose, you know, so that's a fair size of a community. At the minute we've got 600 houses. And wait and see what happens next.
So thank you. Okay, so that's Bertha Park. We've got a new build kind of verging on town that is growing on the outskirts of Perth. But what about yourself, Anne? You are an MDS worker for Perth Presbytery. You're the Presbytery Pioneer Worker. Why don't you unpack that a bit for us? Help us explain your role, please.
Yes, so it's an 0.6 role. And I just call myself the community minister because folks aren't really sure what a presbytery is or what a pioneer is. So the local folk here seem to grasp community minister. And so my remit was to listen to the community, to make connections, and to see and dream and plan together what church would look like in Bertha Park, church for this century. Church in a new housing area where there's no traditions and no routines.
Wow, so it really is that kind of blank canvas of places where people are all coming in with their own ideas and beliefs and traditions and cultures and putting it in one big pot and just mixing it all up. And I love that you're there to listen and to hear the dreams as well. To take us back a bit, Anne, say if we were there about 10 years ago, right, and we're standing, you know, on that west side of Perth, and we're looking over where all the houses now are, what are we seeing?
Well, you're seeing farmland, and it's, I think it's north of the River Almon, so there's field after field, a few woods, a loch. There's nothing but a rural landscape. So it has changed a lot in the last 5 years. When we moved to Perth in 2017, some of the road infrastructure was beginning to be built. And we went for a walk probably 2018. And So the roundabout that is now the entrance to Bertha Park, and it didn't even have roads connecting to it yet. And I can remember us thinking, well, I wonder what's going to happen here. And I had no idea then that I was going to end up in this job.
I love it how God works that way. It's just so good. You notice something, and so often you've got to notice what you notice because you're part of what you notice. That is brilliant. Okay, so 10 years ago we're looking at fields, and now we've got 600 houses, and we've got a church presence in the area. Now, I love all of that because it's the church in amongst this new life that's springing up, but I recognise there's probably quite a story and background with it. Can you take us on that journey then? How has the church ended up in this, in the heart of Bertha Park? Because that's where you're at.
Well, it really started with Presbytery because they heard of the plan to build Bertha Park, and they started straight away to work with the builders and the planners to say, you know, how can we have a church presence here? Because it's important that it's a community and not just houses. So that all happened before I knew anything about it. And then four and a bit years ago, they were ready. They decided and done all the negotiations with 121 to get this post. And that's really where I come in and know a wee bit more about what went on. So there was a lot of work done before I came into the post. And over the last 4.5 years, there's been a lot of people from Presbytery and churches in the area helping and supporting it to get to where it is today. But 4.5 years ago, when I did the interview, I thought we'd have a base by Christmas. By Christmas 2019, they'd shown me the shop that the trustees were hoping to buy. And I thought, oh, we'll be in soon after Christmas. And so the first few months, I went and visited a lot of places, learned a lot from other people, spoke to the New Housing Hub, which is a big interdenominational organisation with the Baptists and the Church of England, Fresh Expressions, all that involved. I decided I would do the Forge course. So I didn't sit about for 3.5 months waiting for this hub to appear. I started to plan what I would do for the first Christmas. Stole a few ideas that seemed to be quite good from other people. We decided we would do a nativity carol crawl. So I got two teenagers to dress up as Mary and Joseph. And so for the whole month of December, I went round and delivered gift bags to promote the carol crawl with a little welcome to your new home gift and a happy first Christmas in your new home card, and knocked on every door and probably spoke to 60% of the people behind the doors. And while I was there, if somebody had kids, I said, do you mind if I bring Mary and Joseph to your door when we're doing the crawl? And most people were really happy. And I just had to prompt them to say no when I asked, is there any room for me to have a baby or for Mary to have a baby? They had to say no, because otherwise we were all coming in. So that worked particularly well because the developers had planned a party for that first Christmas. There were 100 homes. And sadly, the worker took unwell. She got flu or something the week of the party. So we were the only thing that happened for Christmas in the community. I mean, there were no shops. The school wasn't open yet. 100 houses, very mixed community, and nothing was happening for Christmas. So that had a big impact on the community. They really appreciated that we did something to start building community.
And what a way to start as well, going round door to door. You know, it's none of the kind of kept at arm's length or anything. It really was. You were thoroughly involved with people's lives, walking up their front gardens and all 100 of them. It was, that just sounds such a beautiful way to kind of get involved and be involved with the community and where they are. And I suppose one of the messages you must have been sharing with them was about saying you are important enough for us to be here. Yeah. I mean, that strikes me as being really essential that the church is giving to these new, not just new communities, actually, to all communities. But, you know, what a great way to do it. Neil, are you hearing this? And what are you thinking as you're hearing this?
Yeah, I think it's lovely. It's a lovely way of doing Christmas anywhere and everywhere, just going to where people are. That's what Jesus does, isn't it? And that clearly is what you've been doing, Anne, and continue to do. And that was without a building, that was without a base. I imagine you're itinerant, you're just moving around, you're getting to know folk. How important is a base? How important is a building?
Well, in Bertha Park, the building is important to the community because there is nowhere else, even now, for the community to meet. There's not a single yard, square yard, that they can call their own for, apart from their houses that they rent or buy. And there is an enormous school, which is really famous, but it's not a community school. And so it's not available, and certainly over most of the last 4 years, because of COVID, there was nobody going in and out of the building. So even now, the community, if they want to do anything, needs somewhere to meet to plan it, and so they come here. And so, in some ways, the building is really taking off at speed, because for the last 4.5 years, we've been connecting with the people and building relationships. And they have seen, even before the building was properly kitted out, it has become important to them, because it's been somewhere where they've met a friend for the first time post-COVID, or after moving into Bertha Park, or it's been somewhere where they've come and been given food from a food share when they needed it, or it's been somewhere that they've come and given food to the food share. And yeah. COVID obviously happened straight away, within a few months of that Christmas. And what I found was people would come up and just have a wee chat because they'd met me on the doors. And so they would just happen to walk up when the food share was on and catch up with somebody human, you know, that they could speak to for outside for a while. And very soon we borrowed a shop from a somebody bought a shop but couldn't do any work because the builders weren't allowed to do anything during COVID. So he just gave me his keys and said, "You can use the building for the food share." And that was great because it's really windy up here on this farmland. So we had a building all the way through COVID. And I had been volunteering in the school before COVID to help with some of the pupils. And so two of the support workers who I'd met came and helped run the food share. And just very quickly, you realised nothing is wasted. Everybody you meet has the potential to become a key partner or part of the story. And it's just been amazing how God has opened doors ahead of me. One lady I visited between the Christmas and COVID setting in had welcomed me on the door. And so I went back to see her to see if we could start a knitting group. And that was me maybe being a bit ageist. And she said, "Do you know what I used to like doing where I lived before? I used to enjoy walking." And I just thought, "Oh, that's such a good idea. That's all age. That's brilliant." So we immediately started planning a walking group, maybe once a month on a Saturday. And our first walk was going to be Easter 2020, but of course it didn't happen. But that lady was here today at lunchtime for Bertha Blethers, which is our lunch community club. And we've stayed in touch over the last 4 years. She's helped at various events we've tried to run, like pop-up picnics and things in the middle of COVID. And every time I pass the door with something, we end up having a wee blether on the doorstep.
Brilliant. And what does team look like for you, Anne? One of the dangers, of course, of pioneer ministry is that folk get parachuted in and on your own sort of thing and left to sink or swim. Have you had teamwork and what does collaboration look like for you?
I think that's one of the biggest challenges because this is a presbytery mission initiative. So it hasn't been born out of one church's heart or calling. It's been a presbytery idea. And Riverside Church supervise it for presbytery. So I've been very fortunate to have the staff and the members there as a backup and as a prayer support. But really, like most of the other churches I'm in contact with in Perth, lots of good people are busy running their own church outreach and mission. So there isn't a queue of people to come and work with me. But I have found that there are maybe a dozen folk from the various churches who will make time to come along and do something like an Easter cafe with me or a kids craft event on a one-off basis. And I have about half a dozen people who help me run Hot Chocolate, which gives hot chocolate to pupils from the school one lunchtime a week. So I've got people who will come and help and serve, but it actually building a team of people who will commit and be here, it is a challenge. At the minute, I've got a group of four or five folk who pray with me on a Tuesday afternoon, and they are like my soul friends. They really support me in prayer and pray with me and do what they can to help. One lady has committed a year to help at Bertha Park, and so we're building that potentially into a team of people. Certainly, it supports me and keeps me going at the minute.
It's great to hear that you've got that kind of prayer team around you, and also the connection with the churches as well. And, you know, it leads me, I mean, I want to ask about the building and, you know, here, because I know that you talked about team being challenging. I know I've had the pleasure of being in the hub. I love that you drive up around that main road in the estate. You've got this enormous, gorgeous new build school, and straight across the road, you've got this hub that's almost tucked away in amongst all the other buildings. And I'm just thinking about the challenges that you've encountered with the hub. And I think for our listeners, it would be brilliant if you could just give us that kind of visual or audio or a talk walk round. What does the building look like, and how have you ended up with it? Because it sounds like it's the church were just committed to being involved in the community and managed to find the space, or, you know, God opened up the space for you. But there's this commitment with it. I mean, and you said there's no other communal shared areas. So, you know, describe the building, this hub, to us that sounds as though it's very much the heart of the community.
We didn't get the keys until I'd been in the job for 2 years. It took a while for purchase to happen, and that took a lot of hard work and a lot of meetings on Zoom during COVID with the general trustees and with Presbytery. And finally, the keys were put into my hand on 29th of November 2021. And so I thought, goodness me, it's Advent in 2 days. And I didn't know we were going to get the keys, because I'd had two years waiting on these keys. And I thought, it might happen, it might not. And at that point, the building it was an empty shell. It had no running water. It had no toilet. And then we had to start all the negotiations with health and safety at 121 and at the council. And people visited and gave me a list of about a dozen things I would need to do before I could let anybody in the door. And the first one was contact the council. So the lady from Environmental Health came, and we sat socially distanced in the space. And she said, I think we can make this work. And you could have knocked me off the chair I was sitting on with a feather, because I really thought she was just going to say, no, this is crazy. But she gave me the same list of 12 things that the folks at 121 had, so that was good. One of the things we had to do was paint the floor, paint the ceiling, and paint the walls. And I thought, I have a dodgy back. A couple of days later, the school came over to say, you've got the keys. Could we do a cake and bake thing for the community here with some of our pupils? And I said, well, I would love you to, but I need to paint the walls, the ceiling and the floors. And one of the ladies said, we'll get the pupils to do that. That'll be great work experience. My husband's a painter. He'll come in and teach them how to paint properly. He'll give you the paint. He'll give you the overalls. He'll give you the rollers. And so a month later, we had the walls and the ceiling and the floor painted. And a few of the community came and painted wee bits as well. And some of our supporters from different churches came and helped as well. And then we were ready just before Easter 2022 to do our first Easter cafe. But we had to buy a portable sink, a camping sink, because we had, and I had to fill that at home every day and bring it up in my car boot and put it into the building because we had to have hot running water for people to wash hands. I had to do a first aid course. We managed to tick off all 12 things on the list. But yes, you had to be pretty determined.
Yeah, I'm hearing it. I'm hearing perseverance, determination. I'm thinking, I know that you are saying that there was these 12 bits, and but I'm hearing lots of challenges. And then that, what a beautiful sign of hope, you know, the school coming over and saying, can we do this? And then getting involved and the community as well. You know, in some of the other challenges that you've had even more recently, you know, if you think about signs of hope, what signs of hope have you had that have really helped you persevere in what you've been doing?
I think it's the impact on some of the people in the community. We opened officially on September 23 and had a big open day. And my boss, Dave Rankin, helped do a great video for the open day that we showed on repeat. And some of the local community were interviewed for it. And one of the ladies on that said, you know, it's just so great to have the hub. It's great to work with Anne. It's great. It gives me so much hope. This community is so much more than I thought it could ever be when I bought my house. And she doesn't have any interest in faith, but she really loves people and wants to build a community. And I just sensed something of God when she said, this is better than I could ever have dreamed or hoped it would be. And I just thought, that's God. That's God doing that and showing you that and revealing you that. And I wouldn't have known that if she hadn't said it to the camera, you know. So you see the impact. And then just last week, there's a couple of the pupils who come in for hot chocolate, and there's two or three that need supported to cross the threshold and come in and get a hot chocolate. And we started our evening youth club just 3 weeks ago, and some of those pupils came to the evening club. And the growth in their confidence over 3 weeks, they now come in and they come into this little quiet room where I am just now speaking to you, and it's their space, and they're so ha and they've actually formed friendships and have they support each other now, whereas they were three quite vulnerable individuals before. So to see that impact on some of the young people's lives as well, you know, these are the things that keep you going. It's the small things, and the small things become really significant because you see that God's doing something there, and that's great.
I mean, when you think about young people as well, the friendships there, that's life changing, isn't it? It's transformational when you start building those relationships. Neil, did you have something to come in with there?
Yes, it's wonderful to hear the stories, and I'm interested to hear what help, if any, the Forge pioneering course has been, and helping people to take steps closer to Jesus. And
Yeah, well, it has shaped a fair bit of what we've done, along with the new housing hub input as well, because obviously they're the folks that have the experience of moving into new housing areas and the opportunities new housing areas in particular offer to the church. But Forge, a lot of the ideas about doing a community audit. Well, that first Christmas knocking on the doors, and the second and third Christmas were my informal community audits as to who was behind the doors. Working in partnership, looking for people of peace. Really, I wouldn't still be here if I hadn't found some people of peace.
Tell us about people of peace, because not everyone will know what you mean by that, Anne.
Well, I suppose the lady who I was speaking about, she came along to the bake stall that the school did, and she met another lady who lived a few doors away from her that day, and they'd never seen each other because of COVID and lockdown, and they agreed that day that they would meet up again and they would go for walks, and out of that came the weekly walkers, and they were all people of peace, you know, because I went on walks with them, and we'd stop for coffee halfway, and we'd start to chat about what they wanted to see in the community, or they'd be moaning about what wasn't right in the community. And that's what led to our tenants and residents group forming. And it was constituted last autumn. And the minute they were constituted, and even before, because they'd used our hub for 6 months for their meetings with no light or water or anything, but they immediately started to apply for community investment funding. But they said, we're going to pay you for our meetings. And I said, I don't need paid. This is for the community. I'm happy to offer it free. And they said, but if we can get the money for you, Anne, let us get you the money. And so they pay whole hire because they can. And they're just seeking to bless us every way they can. They applied for funding for our youth group to buy an Xbox and to pay for snacks for the year. They've paid for toys and snacks for toddlers when they eventually get started in hopefully a few months. You know, they're just wanting to bless us. They wouldn't use that language, but so it's a partnership with the community, with the folk in the community, listening to them. And at times there are wee blips in the partnership, but we're working together, and there's friendship there. Another really important partnership is with the school pastors, because I've joined the band of school pastors. It means I can go into the school at least once a fortnight and just be in there, available to speak to pupils and staff at lunchtime. And they're great. They come alongside. Some of them are the soul friends. They help with hot chocolate. They commit to lots of bits and bobs through the week. And that's been a real source of encouragement.
That's brilliant. Yeah, finding these people who don't necessarily have an expressed faith, but who are, as you say, people of peace, people who are gatekeepers, people who can open doors for you, and people who will be intrigued and interested to find out more. I'm sure we found that, you know, as people get involved in a caring cause, they find themselves a part of a caring community, and they're interested to find out what, you know, what makes us tick, what's the source of our, you know, positive purpose. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Curiosity. You know, it's we all have it, don't we? It never ever leaves us. Just that curious, why are you doing this? What, you know, what's your motivation? Why on earth would you, you know, plant a hub and open it up and persevere through all the building challenges and all the hoops? And why would you do this? So, Anne, have you had those questions for the community? Are they asking, why are you doing this? Are you finding that you've got ways of sharing faith yet?
I haven't had as many opportunities as I would like. At the minute, we've started Lent conversations, and that's just a kind of open-ended conversational, no right or wrong answer, taster Bible study for the next 6 weeks or so. It's a very slow, gradual process. I could tell you the story of the only person in the first Christmas gift bag visit who refused the gift bag. And I stood at the door and I said, it's just a gift. And she said, no, I want nothing to do with faith and church. And she refused to even, I said, you can chuck it in the bin if you want. She said, I'm not going to take it. And she handed it back to me. And it was as strong as that. And I was quite surprised at the strength of feeling. And at Christmas, we did a Christingle Crafts. And she came in just for a nosy. And she stared at the Christingle. And she said, I once did a talk about that in primary school. She said, one of my teachers was really into that and did it with every class. And she asked me to do the talk that year. And she went away and got something and she came back and she said, right, so you'll need to tell me the story because I can't remember what it was. I couldn't believe it. That just came out of nowhere. And I thought, oh, that's just amazing. And you refused a bag 4 years ago and now you're asking me to tell the story. It's just great.
I'm so reminded of the verse where, you know, we hear that God goes way above and beyond what we can possibly hope, dream or imagine, you know, and you kind of think, wow, that is going way above and beyond what you possibly could have dreamed, you know, in one sense. And it's just total transformation. It's absolutely wonderful. And I think, you know, as we're just coming to think, what are our takeaways from chatting with you, Anne? It's just so really inspiring to hear the strength of your conviction and faith to keep going in loving and serving the community and listening to their stories and their dreams and helping build the relationships, and then also beginning to look at exploring discipleship in a way that it's right in where they are at. And I think that's, you know, that's, I'll give a wee sum up of my takeaway in a minute, actually, because I can feel a sentence forming. Neil, what are your takeaways from today?
Yeah, lots. I think the thing that really I'm taking away particularly is a desire to pray for Jan and the team that's involved there. Yeah, and you've got that group of four, etc., who are critical, and you've got people praying. You've got your line manager Dave and David and others involved, and praying for a growing sense of teamwork and lovely collaboration with people of peace. And the thing that really sticks with me is that first Christmas when you were going to doors and living out the Christmas story, which is, and you've just brought it round full circle with the Castingle story, and it is that going to where people are and loving and caring and sharing, and the light that lightens everyone was coming into the world and is in the world, is at work in and through neighbours, people who don't necessarily recognise Jesus yet, but we pray for the hearts to be open to that truth. Thanks, Anne.
Last week at the Lent Conversations, we looked at the story of the Roman centurion in Luke chapter 7 in the Message. And it was kind of, you know, the hairs at the back of your neck rising as we gradually grasped that the people came to Jesus, the Jews came to Jesus and said, "Will you help this man and his servant? Because he loves our people and he's built us a meeting place." And we just suddenly realized, wow, this is our calling. And we pray people will see the same as that group of people did in Luke's gospel.
Wow. I mean, that really is, you are embodying the word, aren't you? It's just being the hands and feet literally of Jesus when you look at that. And I think one of the takeaways that I can't escape from with chatting with you today, Anne, has been about you've not forced anything. There's been, you know, in everything that you have talked about, and we haven't even asked you explicitly about what your hopes are for the future, but we've kind of got a sense of them. You know, you've got your youth club and you've got the hot chocolate and you've got the toddlers hoping to start, and you can just hear, you know, that there's more responses to folks' stories that are coming there with the Lent, you know, discipleship groups and things as well. So we know you've got great hopes and plans for the place. But what I'm taking away is, you know, there's nothing as forced, but yet you've kept it moving. And, you know, that I think takes great grace. It really does. Great grace and a wonderful companionship with the Holy Spirit to know not to force things in order to achieve planting a new community of faith or a new worshiping community, but having that held in the right place so that you are still moving, but it's not forcing. And I just think that's a beautiful, beautiful picture of grace in Bertha Park there. So absolutely wonderful to hear from you today, Anne. Really super story. And I would just encourage you, if you are hearing Anne's story for the first time and you don't know anything about Bertha Park, go and have a look at it. Find that video that she was talking about online as well, because it's a really super inspiring and encouraging place for us as a church of getting involved and being the hands and feet and the heartbeat of the community, exactly the way that Jesus wants us as his church to be. So thank you, Anne. Bless you and bless all the work that you are doing. And we look forward to you all joining with us next time on Emerging Emmaus.
In your neighbourhood, trudge two dumped Jesus friends, drowning before dawning, moving through a maze of misery to an amazing Emmaus encounter. Emerging Emmaus.
Good grief, our dream is dead. Going home instead, comfort of my bed.
Good grief, the pain. Hope hard to sustain, love down the drain.
Good grief, where have you been? What we've seen? Blown to smithereens.
Good grief, how our hearts burned, our minds turned, or all we learned.
Good grief, don't go away. Come in to stay. You've shown the way.
Good grief, how he broke the bread with hands that bled, then disappeared.
Good grief, Jesus alive? No need to strive, chance to thrive. Jesus alive.
Good grief, no time to waste. Now we have a taste to Jerusalem with haste.
Emerging Emmaus. A well-kent lament echoes through the years. How long? How long? Good as is the grieving process, may it be a means to access visions and dreams of Christ's kingdom come. Emmaus, emerge from the gloom. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
So for future podcasts, join us via the Sanctuary First website, Facebook page and app, and also via Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Come on, tune in.